everybody. Please step inside. Step inside. There's plenty of room. Don't be afraid. Scoot all the way up to the front.
Go over by the jets. The jets with the milk in them. Mm-hmm. It's a comfortable part.
There's a comfortable few cushions there, and those are filled with puffed wheat. Actually, it's a very—it's kind of like a buckwheat husk. But if you get hungry, you can open it and eat it. Those are the
pillows. High-fiber nap.
High-fiber nap. Hello and welcome to the Empty Bowl, the breakfast oasis, a calming place to sit, be still, and just think about cereal. I am a cereal enthusiast by the name of Justin McElroy.
And I am Cereallessly.net creator Dan Goubert.
Dan, it's such a pleasure to be here again with you.
It really is a joy. I'm feeling just so relaxed right now. This time around, I just polished off a bowl of Honey Toasted O's from Meijer, a very underrated, I believe, store brand with a lot to offer.
Is that a... What's the word I'm looking for? Parody? It's not the word I'm looking for.
Like the kind you see in the movies?
A counterpart to a real cereal, or is it its own thing?
You know, it's one of those rare instances of the store brand cereal that just brings something that the original can't. Like, clearly it's meant to be sort of a knockoff. It's a little bit of a pejorative term, but of Honey Nut Cheerios. But in this case, the base flavor is much more like a graham cracker than the savory toasted oat we're used to. And it's just something about a bland graham cracker always brings me back to more comfortable times when life was just like a big innocent graham cracker to me.
I hear that. What's been going on in the world of cereal news?
Oh, there's just so many rumors coming through the General Mills rumor mill, as I like to call it.
How do these things bubble up? Where do these things come from?
You know, there's a lot of snack sleuths out there that are always stalking different different new product listing sites, and I partake in the investigation. It's fun to have a little wild goose chase online. And so a lot of the times these entries come up for new cereals in reputable locations, but they don't come with pictures. So we're just left to sort of, you know, picture them in our minds, like the blind man touching the elephant. We just get a taste of what's to come. And in this case, I actually stumbled upon this one myself, was two Hostess cereals, like the snack food company.
Okay, yeah.
Never before seen in the cereal aisle, absolutely. I don't think we've ever seen any snack cakes in the cereal aisle. But when you think of Hostess and cereal, you would probably guess that they would make a Twinkie cereal or a cupcake cereal or one of their flagship snack cakes. You know, the ones they would put on a flag if they were a sovereign nation. But instead here we got two of their more underrated or niche cakes, Honey Bun and Powdered Sugar Donut cereals are the two that are allegedly coming to shelves, according to what I deem to be a trustworthy source.
Oh, that's fascinating. You see, I feel like a powdered donut cereal could be very interesting.
Yeah, we recently saw Cap'n Crunch bust out his Sprinkled Donut Crunch, which was very innovative. It really harkened back to the Sprinkle Spangles of the last century that kind of went unrecognized with the tiny little candied spheres that are on top of the larger, you know, candied ring.
You could almost see them doing something like one of the Frosted Cheerios, that sort of take where it's like an Odie thing that has like a frosted coating on it. Because I feel like you can't really do like powdered per se, you know, because it's like that would get really rough in milk, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting that we don't really have any existing cereal tech necessarily to compare this to, because we don't know which major cereal company, if any, is behind these Hostess cereals. They could be having some, you know, secret cereal technology that we don't know about brewing in their underground Twinkie factories to really blast the flavor on there like you see on a Honey Bun or a powdered sugar donut, because I don't know how they do that.
And the Honey Bun, that could be, what was that? There's a cereal like this, right? Hasn't there been like a cinnamon bun type
cereal? Yeah. Kellogg's did a Cinnabon cereal.
Okay.
That might still be around some of the outlet stores that sell out of date cereals. But never a honey bun. Hmm. A very interesting cereal fusion recipe, what I like to think of it as.
Well, I hope that we get to check those out. Those sound pretty good. You never know somebody entering the game for the first time, though. You know, are they going to come out and crush it, or are they going to stumble out the gate?
Yeah, I don't know, but I at least hope they sort of incite Little Debbie to join the competition, too, because I would love to see an oatmeal cream pie cereal.
I'd do anything. And how about the Twinkie cereal, right?
Yeah, it could be coming down the line to really blow our minds. These ones are just to test the creamy waters.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how a cream-filled... in a tubular shape that I don't think that we've necessarily seen in the breakfast world before.
Burst in your mouth, not in your spoon.
Any other new news items? Anything else on the horizon?
Well, if you thought the Hostess cereals were sort of harbingers of great cereals to come, you'd be right. Because shortly after finding those listings, I also found one for a Cinnamon Toast Crunch Churros cereal, which of course immediately makes me think of the Post brand mini cinnamon churros that came out not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember those at all.
I think I did try those.
What did you think of them?
They didn't give me, I think, the cinnamon that I was necessarily kind of hoping for. And pure crunch is like a weird mix with churros. For me, I feel like texturally I just couldn't get there.
It's true. It's more like a cinnamon tamale cereal at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so that's what immediately came to mind, because Post cereal was meant to compete with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So now, so many years down the line that Post mini cinnamon churros are done and gone, you have to wonder whether they're not trying to throw shade at them here for their failure to compete with the big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
By stealing their quintessential shape.
I guess, but also, if they got out of the game, you have to give that shape up, you know? Like that, you have to let the next person take a swing at that.
That's true. You can't take it with you.
Can't take
when
it with you.
When you're dead and gone, the pieces go back into the box.
that could be good. I think if you hit, like, a cinnamon flavor really well. You know a cereal that did that great was... Did you ever have... Crunchy Stars?
No, I haven't, but I've heard much of the lore behind it, so to speak. Oh,
it was so good. It was like a really good star shapes, but like a really good cinnamon flavor based on the Swedish chef of all people. Like, why on earth like that would be a cereal character? But there's a lot of unnerving commercials where you see his weird human hands eating Crunchy Stars.
It's felt in the cereal.
It's just a lot.
Well, that might be where the Cinnamon Star Crunch from Cinnamon Toast Crunch came from. Might have just been another put down.
Who knew the cereal was so antagonistic? So we figured this one out. Well, we didn't. Sort of time did. General Mills has released a churros snack in a little bag, and it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. At least it's supposed to. We haven't eaten it. We were going to cut out the part where we were speculating, but it happens. Enjoy the rest of the show. Dan, I think I'm mentally prepared for the review this week.
Are you sure? Do you have your geometric priorities in order?
I do, and this is a peaceful place, and it is not contentious, and so Dan and I are just going to agree to feel differently about fruit shapes and tricks. So
fruit
Dan,
shapes and tricks.
Tell me about fruit shape tricks.
Well, this was a very contentious subject for many reasons. First of all, we've seen Trix cereal go through a lot. It started out as sphere-shaped cereals and a simplicity of colors so long ago. But then they changed it in the early 90s to these cute little fruit shapes, kind of like the Runtz candies you see, but 10 times softer. And they were really beloved by all the children who grew up in that area and associate them with the wonderful commercials, the outlandish cartoon plots, and, you know, all the fun and innocence that came before Y2K sort of, you know, ruined the fruit shapes for us. So eventually, General Mills decided to respond to consumer feedback, and which probably means dollar amounts, and turn them into spheres. And not really well-liked amongst people, especially as they continued to shrink them into mini Trix and eventually turn them into all-natural Trix. That must have been too much for Trix fans to handle, so they complained, wrote 20 million or so complaints about wanting the fruit shapes back and the original colors back, and we kind of got that in stages before this momentous occasion that the fruit shapes are back. And I was sent a box pretty immediately, luckily, so I didn't have to sort of hunt down any of the local Trix-bearing children and, you know, try the convoluted schemes they see in the commercials. But I'm proud to say it tastes just like we remembered, with the perfect multi-textural mouthfeel that comes with all the jagged edges and deep crevasses of machine-sculpted grapes.
Do you really think that it tastes better with the fruit shapes?
I just feel like it's a matter of surface area. There's more little tiny areas for flavor to get into, and you taste less of the corn beneath it. I don't know how you feel about it.
I think for me, I thought a lot about this because I did get a box of the fruit shape Trix, and they're very good. But for me, I feel like Trix is sort of the ultimate expression of like cereal largesse. I think that if you look at a bowl of like regular spherical Trix, it is the most pure expression of like a childhood cereal. Like, there's nothing nutritional about it, and it's a rainbow, and it's just like, it looks like candy in a bowl. Like, that's Trix. And for me, I was born in 1980, so for me, that first decade of childhood, that's what Trix was, right? Like, Trix was the spheres. So that's my childhood. And what was interesting, I think that these nostalgic feelings for Trix actually go deep with people, because when I tweeted that, you know, spherical shapes are vastly superior, it was a really good reminder that most of my like followers are younger than me, because there was that immediate pushback of like, no, fruit shapes are where it's at. And I realized like, this is your nostalgic connection to Trix. Like, this is what your Trix was in your childhood. So of course to you, this feels like a return to form, where to me, it's like, I saw classic Trix written on the box, and it's just like the height of arrogance. It feels like I'm overstating the point, but it feels like they are trying to erase my childhood, because it feels like the 10 years that I spent with spherical Trix just didn't happen. And this is what everybody agrees is the original best version of Trix. So yeah, I don't know. It's still very good, and it like still looks wild. It's still incredibly colorful and sugary. The artificial colors thing was such a bummer. Like, if you bought a box of it back then, oh, it is so sad. It's really, really sad. Reminds me of that movie Pleasantville, you know what I mean? Where, like, all the color is sucked out of the world. Like, Trix looks like cereal from Pleasantville when it was in its natural color state. But, I don't know. It's still delicious. I still very much enjoyed the bowl I ate, and it was fun. My daughter is 4, so she got a really big kick out of like the little fruit shapes and figuring out what each one was and stuff. And I do appreciate that they have to be confronted with a wild berry, as if, because like that's not anything. It's simply not. And I like that they have to depict it. Like, they have to choose what this fake flavor how that exists in the real world.
I don't know. I just think it's bold of them. They're very clearly trying to rewrite rewrite their own cereal history, and not even that, just rewrite the actual history of American fruits that are available for consumption. I'm just excited to see what Act of God Trix tries next.
Also, I wish Trix had a little more integrity. This is like the third huge massive change to Trix in the past 2 years. It seems a little desperate at this point.
Do you think if we start asking them to turn each piece of Trix roughly the size of a basketball, if enough people ask them that, will they make it happen?
It does feel that way, doesn't it? Like they'll just be whatever you want them to be. Like it's a design by committee as far as Trix goes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dan, we got a question from a listener, and I was thinking maybe I could read the question and then you could kind of give me your thoughts since you're the cereal expert here. I have a question about milk, says this question from Guybrush. I usually reach for whatever happens to be in the fridge when I'm looking for the liquid accoutrement into my cereal. That's usually the old tried and true 2%. Would you suggest that I step up my milk game a notch? Are there better milk pairings for certain cereals? Should I ever try skim or whole? Are there any situations other than a lactose intolerance where almond or soy milk would make a better pairing? Is it considered bad form to add some cream or half and half to the mix to get a little more richness? Is chocolate milk too much? And will it drown out the more subtle flavors of some cereal? And thanks for the awesome show. Sincerely, Guybrush.
Oh, man, there are a lot of dimensions to this question here. Mm. A lot of viscosities involved, a lot of flavors, a lot of percentages to calculate. Mm. But first, I feel I have to start it off by admitting, as I have on my blog before, that I am mildly lactose intolerant. A very ironic Achilles heel for a cereal fanatic like me. But it could have been worse. I could have been allergic to gluten, which for all of you out there, I feel for you. I really do. So I have grown accustomed to trying milk alternatives, and because it's only a mild aversion, I can still try normal milk when I feel it's suitable for the sort of canvas that I'm working with, the cereal canvas, that is. I'll just have to accept, you know, any gastrointestinal repercussions as suffering for fashion. But I do believe there are instances where the milk alternative fits better thematically with the dish, primarily, almond milk. If you have anything like a Honey Nut Cheerio or perhaps a Honey Nut Toasted Oat, having that almond component to it really just supplements the thematic integrity of the breakfast and enhances it. I mean, for things like soy milk, that's probably more up to an individual experimentation to see whether you think the planty notes complement certain earthen cereals better, but anything beyond that, you just get into more wildly experimental territory like cashew milk. I recommend you stay away from. Just don't think about it.
Yeah, I would love to, like, literally all the other alternatives are like better for you, and so it makes it a little hard to like. I wish that I could just choose one of these and go with it. But there is something about the, like, it's such an important culinary experience to me that, like, it just feels a little hollow. There's like something off when I have to say soy is really tough. Like, that's the one that sort of hits me the hardest. There's like a cardboardy sort of flavor with soy milk that I can't really get behind. I have had some good experiences from time to time with almond milk in like a real, like, if it's a real grown-up cereal, you know what I mean? Like a shredded wheat, something like that, where it's, like, heartier, I guess, maybe is the word. I have maybe had some good experiences with almond milk in an area like that. Now, when I was doing the low-carb thing, I used to have Kashi, which is a puffed, I think it's a puffed buckwheat cereal. It's puffed, puffed some sort of grain. Flavorless.
I do have a fondness for Kashi, yeah.
Flavorless cereal that the recommendation was that you would put half and half. If you're doing the low carb, like really? Atkins thing, you would put half and half in there. And it's like, I mean, half and half is intense. Like, that's an intense cereal experience. Like, I don't think I have ever gotten to the bottom of a bowl with 2% milk and thought, like, ugh, why can't, why did I do this? And I definitely felt that way when I was doing the half and half thing.
Yeah, yeah. One time, I believe, for sort of a half-joking cereal review, I was reviewing the Reese's flavored coffee creamer, and I made a bowl of Reese's Puffs with it.
Ooh.
Reese's Puffs. And it was just thick.
Mm-hmm.
Like a chocolate peanut butter anchor straight to the intestines. But, you know, it all worked out in the end because I posted a picture of it and some random meme account reblogged it and stole it. Must have been funny enough, at least, so to justify the suffering.
I feel like chocolate milk. I have not done chocolate milk. I feel like that could be a really good complement to, I mean, the obvious is something like Cocoa Puffs, but I feel like chocolate milk combined with something like Red Berry Special K could be a really nice, like, could be a really nice complement.
Yeah, there definitely has to be another dimension other than chocolate present. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I have this theory that the perfect cereal combo consists of having one chocolate cereal, one strawberry cereal, and one peanut butter cereal available. Because all the combinations between the two are just fantastic. So if you want to take your chocolate milk with any peanut butter or strawberry cereal, you're bound to make magic happen. Just don't put it on, like, double chocolate crave. Otherwise, you're just digging the hole deeper, honestly. Mm-hmm.
What cereal is in your cupboard right now?
Besides the Honey Toasted O's, I also just got the last supermarket box of Halloween Crunch from Cap'n Crunch. Nice. I'm really prepping for the season by turning all my milk green, whether it's chocolate, half and half, or otherwise.
I have that half-finished box of Trix, and then my daughter insists on buying Lucky Charms with unicorn marshmallows. Now that that's in the mix, and I'm not a huge Lucky Charms person. It's a little basic at this point. I need something a little more exciting. But those unicorn marshmallows are beautiful. I gotta give it up to them. It's lovely. It's a lovely marshmallow. A lovely marbet.
It's true. The way they just blend the colors, it's just more than I was ever able to accomplish in my marshmallow art education. That is. It's a seamless gradient across the main. It's just top notch.
Well, that brings us to the end of the Empty Bowl. We hope you have enjoyed yourself. You can find our show at bowl.rest and subscribe to it there. We would also, if you can, donate anything to the show. You can also do that at that address and just pledge, you know, 99 cents a month if you can, if it's comfortable. If it's not, obviously, please don't. But if you're enjoying the show, half that money goes to help Cerealously keep going, and half of it goes to a food bank here in Huntington, West Virginia. So we like to think we're putting that to good use, so thank you for that. We have an email address if you'd like to send us an email. It's mail@bowl.rest. So you can send us an email there, or you can subscribe to the show. You know, rate, review, all that stuff. And you can always go to cerealously.net to see all the things that Dan's working on. He's always cranking out a ton of different posts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
You just sit there waiting. Dan's just waiting. Don't let him wait alone.
It's tough. I will say, though, that with that email address, if you or someone you love has any intelligence on Hostess cereals or perhaps Cinnamon Toast Crunch churros, feel free to send them to us, or, you know, mumble them into a payphone in a parking booth.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Dan. Thank you to you for listening. And Hope you have a great week. Have some great cereal and come back and join us again here in 2 weeks. But until then, my name is Justin McElroy. For Dan Gubert, as always, don't forget to drink the milk.
Half and half.